Chapter 12. The Longevity Lifestyle and Diet. A few simple lifestyle changes can dramatically improve your energy, health, and longevity. While the science is complex, our application of it is both straightforward and practical. Eat well, stress less, move more, and love more. Dr. Dean Ornish. This chapter doesn't require you to spend any extra money. It doesn't require a major commitment of time. You won't need a doctor's prescription to implement any of the solutions that you're going to learn about here. And yet the simple lifestyle changes that we're about to share with you can have an immediate and enduring impact on your vitality, your energy, your strength, and your quality of life. The good news is that these actionable insights are available to you right now. All you need is a solid grasp of what works and a commitment to harness that understanding in ways that will dramatically increase your chances of living a long, vigorous, and healthy life. The trouble is, there's so much misinformation and conflicting advice out there that it's easy to get confused and knocked off course. Our goal is to cut through all of that noise and nonsense so you can move forward with a new sense of clarity and awareness. After all, awareness, combined with effective action, is the foundation, the bedrock, of a healthy and vibrant lifestyle. To guide us on this journey, we've assembled a dream team of experts with an unsurpassed depth of insight based on decades of rigorous scientific research. Who better to lead this team than my great friend and life force advisor, Dean Ornish, MD? He's often hailed as the father of lifestyle medicine, a field that uses lifestyle changes to prevent, treat, and reverse disease. As Dr. Ornish explains, it's very empowering to realize how quickly and decisively you can improve your health by simply modifying your own behavior. The truth is, most of us wildly underestimate the power of our basic lifestyle choices, but the latest science is so compelling that it's impossible to ignore. For example, we'll explain how a handful of low-risk lifestyle choices can add 12 or more years to your life, how moderate exercise can literally halve your risk of dying from heart disease, how smart dietary decisions can reduce your risk of death from any cause by 36%, while poor dietary choices can increase your risk of death by 67%, how you can take advantage of the regenerative benefits of fasting without putting yourself through needless misery. We'll also show how understanding your microbiome can help you customize your diet for increased health and vitality. Finally, I'll share with you two of my favorite biohacks that can truly transform the quality of your life in ways that you might not even believe is possible. The power of heat and the power of cold. Two natural stressors that can lower your blood pressure, cut your chance of heart disease in half, improve your mood, and even give you a moderate exercise effect without having to do much movement. This subject of lifestyle is so central to your health and well-being that we're going to continue exploring it over the next two chapters as well. In those chapters, you'll learn how to optimize your life force by improving everything from how you sleep to how you build muscle mass. The fundamental truth underlying the chapters in this section is so simple that it's easy to underestimate their critical importance. In short, your basic day-to-day lifestyle choices will have a profound impact on your quality of life, your health span, and your lifespan, and those choices are entirely in your hands. Physician, heal thyself. You are the cause of your own joy or your own misery. You hold that power. You are your own friend and your own enemy. Swami Satchidananda. When Dr. Ornish was a 19-year-old pre-medical student in college, his life began to unravel. "I was suicidally depressed," he recalls. "I came about as close to committing suicide as you can without actually doing it." The stress from striving to excel overwhelmed him. Surrounded by gifted students who seemed so much smarter than him, he felt like an imposter, a dumb fraud whose inadequacy would be exposed for everyone to see. He feared that he'd fail to get into medical school, that he'd disappoint his parents, that nobody would love and respect him. Worst of all, he was filled with a sense of total futility. Even if he achieved a measure of success, he was convinced that nothing would ever bring him lasting contentment. Unable to sleep, sit still, or focus on his studies, he tried to calm himself by taking tranquilizers and drinking alcohol. The future seemed so bleak that he even contemplated crashing his car into the side of a bridge so his death would look like an accident. In the end, he was saved by sickness. Slammed by mononucleosis, he barely had the energy to crawl out of bed. "My parents saw what a wreck I was and took me home to Dallas," he says. "My plan was to get strong enough to kill myself." His sister had experienced some striking health benefits from practicing yoga with an Indian spiritual teacher named Swami Sachidananda. So Ornish's parents decided to host a party for the Swami in the living room of their home. Dressed in saffron robes and with a billowing white beard, Sachidananda delivered a life-changing lecture. He explained that nothing external can bring lasting happiness, and that a wiser path is to focus on quieting down the mind and body enough to experience a deep sense of inner joy and peace. This was back in 1972, says Dr. Ornish. Today, it would be weird in Dallas, but it was especially weird then. Still, he could see that Sachidananda was glowing and I was miserable. It was like, what am I missing here? Desperate to ease his suffering, Ornish was willing to try anything. So he learned to meditate, studied yoga, and started to use breathing and visualization techniques that helped him calm his mind. Inspired by Sachidananda, he also changed the way he ate. Renouncing the juicy steaks and cheeseburgers of his youth, he gave up his high-fat American diet and became a vegetarian. Feeling healthier, happier, and more focused, Ornish returned to college and became first in his class. After that, he aced medical school and landed a fellowship at Harvard. He eventually became a professor of medicine at UC San Francisco, the author of bestsellers like Dr. Dean Ornish's Program for Reversing Heart Disease, and a pioneering researcher whose studies have been published in the most prestigious medical journals. He also built a 9-week lifestyle medicine program that's been scientifically proven to reverse heart disease and other chronic illnesses by optimizing 4 factors: how you eat, how active you are, how you respond to stress, and how much emotional support you receive. Not so dumb, after all. Like so many of the scientists in this book, Dr. Ornish took his own pain and used it as the inspiration for a career in which he's lifted so many other people out of their pain. When Dr. Ornish looks back now on what he's learned over 4 decades about the causes and prevention of disease, he's struck by what he calls a blinding flash of the obvious. He explains, "I was trained, like all doctors, to view heart disease, diabetes, prostate cancer, breast cancer, and even Alzheimer's disease as being fundamentally different diseases, different diagnoses, different treatments. In reality," says Dr. Ornish, "they really are the same disease, just manifesting and masquerading in different forms. They all share the same underlying biological mechanisms, things like chronic inflammation, oxidative stress, telomeres, angiogenesis, and so on. And each of those mechanisms is directly influenced by what we eat, how we respond to stress, how much exercise we get, and the psychosocial support we get." That realization has profound implications. It radically simplifies what we advise people to do, says Dr. Ornish. For the vast majority of chronic diseases, it's the same lifestyle recommendations because, again, they really are the same disease. One of his favorite examples involves telomeres, which are the protective caps at the ends of your chromosomes, much like the plastic tips on your shoelaces. As you age, your telomeres tend to shorten, causing your cells to malfunction and die. Shorter telomeres are associated with an elevated risk of premature death from many illnesses, including heart disease, Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, and a rogue's gallery of cancers. To put it bluntly, as your telomeres get shorter, your life gets shorter too. Are you powerless in the face of this decline? Not at all. It turns out that your lifestyle, including how you eat, exercise, and handle stress, has a huge impact on your telomeres. Ornish's Preventive Medicine Research Institute teamed up with Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn, a Nobel Prize-winning scientist who's famous for her research on telomeres, to conduct the first controlled study showing that lifestyle changes can lengthen your telomeres. A group of patients who went through Dr. Ornish's lifestyle program for just 3 months displayed a 30% increase in telomerase, the enzyme that repairs telomeres. After 5 years, telomere length had increased by 10% instead of decreasing with age. The editors at Lancet Oncology described this as reversing aging at a cellular level. Another research team has shown that adults who exercise consistently have significantly longer telomeres than those who lead sedentary lifestyles. They found that highly active adults who jogged for 30 to 40 minutes a day, 5 days a week, had a biologic aging advantage of 9 years over sedentary adults. Yes, you heard that right. Biologically, it was as if they were 9 years younger just because they made the commitment to exercise on a regular basis. We're seeing this pattern again and again in scientific studies. Simply put, the impact of the most obvious, common-sense lifestyle choices is staggering. In 2018, a research team from the Harvard School of Public Health published a landmark study titled Impact of Healthy Lifestyle Factors on Life Expectancies in the U.S. Population. They showed the effect on more than 120,000 people of 5 modifiable lifestyle factors: never smoking, moderate alcohol intake, regular physical activity, at least 30 minutes a day of moderate to vigorous exercise, a normal weight, and a healthy diet. What did they discover? In midlife, say at 50 years old, men who followed all 5 of these low-risk guidelines could expect to live 12.2 years longer than men who followed none of them, while women could expect to live an extra 14 years. The study also found that people who adopted a healthy lifestyle had an 82% lower risk of dying from cardiovascular disease during a follow-up period and a 65% lower risk of dying from cancer. The authors emphasize that cardiovascular disease, cancer, and other chronic illnesses are the most common and costly of all health problems, but are largely preventable. Just think about that for a moment. The biggest threats to your health are largely preventable. Once you've truly internalized that essential idea, you can begin to zero in on some more specific questions. For example, what constitutes a healthy diet? Eat well, feel great, live long. If it's a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, don't. Michael Pollan. There's fierce disagreement about the negatives and positives of countless diets, from keto to paleo, Nordic to Mediterranean, Golo to J-Lo. It's almost as bad as listening to politicians bickering about everything under the sun. Dr. Ornish has been a valiant warrior in these nutritional debates, duking it out in public with controversial figures like the late Robert Atkins, M.D., who created a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet that many experts, Ornish included, consider harmful. But Dr. Ornish has had enough. "I'm not doing these diet wars anymore," he says. "It was just confusing people and providing a platform for people who really don't have the science to back up what they're saying." He's choosing instead to lay out clearly what he's learned about nutrition over 4 decades based on published research by himself and others and his successful results with thousands of patients. "The studies are there for anyone who really wants to look at them," he says, "and there's an emerging consensus about how to eat healthily. If you want to do it, here's how you do it. If you don't want to do it, that's fine too. But it works really quickly, and you'll experience the benefits in your own life if you try this approach." First of all, the evidence shows emphatically that the typical Western diet isn't working. Many of us consume too much sugar, too much meat, too much fat, too much salt, too many calories, too much everything. And these choices are making us sick. "Most Americans eat way too many refined carbs," adds Ornish. "That includes white bread, white rice, pizza, pasta, pastries, fruit juice, and sodas brimming with high fructose corn syrup. It's like mainlining sugar. It goes straight into your bloodstream, so your blood sugar spikes, your pancreas makes insulin to bring your blood sugar back down, which is good, but the insulin accelerates the conversion of those calories into fat. It causes chronic inflammation and many of these mechanisms that underlie some of these chronic diseases. The question is, what should you eat instead if you're ready to cut back on those bad carbs? I'd love to be able to tell your readers that pork rinds and bacon and sausage are good for you, but they're not, says Ornish. That may sound sacrilegious to most Americans, and we're not suggesting you give up meat if you're a dedicated carnivore. As we'll explain shortly, one of the advantages of the newest DNA testing is that it helps us understand why different people thrive on different types of diets. Now, you have to be careful, as DNA is not absolute. It's the epigenome that impacts us most, but it can be impacted by diet as well. For example, whether your body tends to primarily burn carbohydrates, fats, or proteins can help you understand why certain diets work better for some people. But there are still fundamentals. We all need the same core ingredients and still need some universals like vegetables and greens. It is important to note, though, that many studies have found that diets high in animal protein, especially red and processed meats when not accompanied by fruits and vegetables, are associated with increased risks of illnesses like breast cancer, prostate cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. Dr. Ornish's solution is to replace those bad carbs with good carbs, mostly fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes like beans, chickpeas, and lentils, and soy products like tofu and soy milk. Most good carbs are low in fat, high in fiber, and do a better job of filling you up than bad carbs. What's more, says Ornish, good carbs don't provoke these repeated insulin surges, which can lead to metabolic syndrome and ultimately type 2 diabetes. Good carbs also contain thousands of protective substances that have anti-cancer, anti-heart disease, and anti-aging properties, including bioflavonoids, polyphenols, retinols, lycopene, carotenoids, isoflavones, and other goodies with equally obscure names. The protective qualities of vegetables are particularly mind-blowing. For example, studies have shown a stunning range of health benefits from cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, and Brussels sprouts. They've been linked to lower rates of everything from cardiovascular disease to breast and prostate cancer. What's the secret? One factor is that these veggies contain sulforaphane, a compound that reduces inflammation and can even slow the growth of tumors. Given what we're learning about sulforaphane's mighty powers, Popeye should load up on raw or steamed broccoli sprouts along with his spinach. The point is, when you eat fewer harmful foods and replace them with protective foods, you gain what Ornish views as a double benefit. In dietary terms, it's the ultimate win-win. None of this is particularly complicated. It's essentially a whole foods, plant-based diet that's naturally low in fat and sugar and refined carbs, says Ornish. His preference for whole foods like fruits, vegetables, and beans is worth emphasizing. As you'd expect, it's usually healthier to eat high-quality foods in their natural organic state than packaged products processed by ingenious people in white lab coats. But these are really just general guidelines to help you decide for yourself how to eat, based on reliable research about the expected effects on your health. In one of his books, The Spectrum, a scientifically proven program to feel better, live longer, lose weight, and gain health, Ornish categorizes food into five groups, listing the healthiest in group 1 and the unhealthiest in group 5, which is where you'll find the usual suspects, the processed meats and donuts and so on. But he's not saying eat this or don't eat this. He's simply demystifying the science so you can make educated choices given your own health, tastes, and willingness to change. If you're just trying to stay healthy, lose a few pounds, get your cholesterol or blood pressure or blood sugar down a bit, it's not all or nothing, says Dr. Ornish. What matters most is your overall way of eating. So if you indulge yourself one day, it doesn't mean that you're good or bad. It just means eat healthier the next day. On the other hand, says Dr. Ornish, if you're trying to reverse a life-threatening disease, that's a lot harder, and you'll need to make even bigger changes. Let's say you're at risk from heart disease, a largely preventable illness that's the world's leading cause of death. Maybe you or someone you love is overweight or sedentary, or has other common risk factors like high blood pressure, high blood sugar, and elevated LDL cholesterol and triglyceride levels. If you reduce your intake of refined carbs and saturated fats, say by cutting back on red meat, whole milk, cheese, and baked goods, you're likely to see significant improvements on all of these fronts. If you boost your intake of whole grains, vegetables, and fruits, you're further reducing the threat of heart disease. It's that simple. Add in some moderate exercise and the picture brightens even more. One study found that simply walking for 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, can lower the risk of premature death by 20% compared to people who remain sedentary. Another study found that women who walked briskly for 60 to 90 minutes per week halved their risk of dying from heart attack and stroke. You can expect a similar pattern if your goal is to prevent or reverse the progression of many other chronic diseases. In one study, 926 men with prostate cancer were followed for about 14 years after their diagnosis to assess the impact of diet on their mortality. It turned out that men who ate a Western diet filled with red and processed meats, high-fat dairy, refined grains, and sugary desserts had a 250% higher risk of dying from prostate cancer and a 67% higher risk of death from any cause. I'd like you to pause for a moment to let those appalling numbers lodge permanently in your beautiful brain. As you probably know already, sugar is a silent killer. By contrast, men who ate a prudent diet filled with vegetables, fruits, legumes, whole grains, soy products, oil and vinegar dressing, and fish had a 36% lower risk of death from any cause. In a classic display of scientific understatement, the study concluded that modifications to diet may influence survival. I don't know about you, but I'd bet my life on it. Say goodbye to the heart attack diet. Dietary interventions can not only delay diseases, but actually eliminate a major portion of chronic diseases in mice, monkeys, and even humans to extend longevity. Dr. Walter Longo, director of the Longevity Institute, University of Southern California. Walter Longo, PhD, was born and raised in Italy. Longo had no intention of becoming a longevity guru. He started out wanting to be a rock star. At 16, he moved to Chicago with his guitar in hand, planning to study music while living with an aunt. He soon discovered that many inhabitants of his new hometown had adopted some pretty unhealthy habits. It was perfectly normal to start the day with a breakfast of bacon, sausages, and eggs, and it wasn't unusual to eat meat at every meal. Longo was also introduced to Chicago-style pizza, which was smothered with enough cheese to sink a battleship, and he saw people washing it all down with vast sugary drinks, then topping it off with mountainous desserts. Some of his relatives in Chicago were dying of cardiovascular disease, and he'd later described this way of eating as the heart attack diet. Longo moved to Texas for college, where he eventually made the leap from learning to play jazz guitar to studying biochemistry. In those student years, he fell into the habit of fueling himself with a steady supply of hamburgers, French fries, and the cheesy delights of Tex-Mex. By his late 20s, his cholesterol and blood pressure were so bad that his doctors recommended that he take statins and hypertension drugs. Instead, he fixed his health by altering the way he ate. How? He essentially returned to the style of eating he'd grown up with in Liguria and Calabria, two regions of Italy where the cuisine was famously healthy. It was a diet that revolved around complex carbs like vegetables, beans, nuts, and fruit, along with moderate portions of pasta, plenty of olive oil, and some fish. As a kid, says Longo, meat was a once-a-week treat. It was no coincidence that these areas of Italy were home to an unusual number of centenarians. Longo became fascinated by the connection between nutrition and healthy longevity, a subject that he's now explored for more than 30 years. Today, Longo is the director of the Longevity Institute at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles and a leading expert on the biological mechanisms of aging. He describes nutrition as the most important factor you can take control of to affect how long you live, whether you will be diagnosed with certain major diseases, and whether you will be active and strong or sedentary and frail in old age. Longo has met with hundreds of centenarians interviewing people like Emma Murano, an Italian who lived to 117. He studied longevity hotspots everywhere from Sardinia to Ecuador, looking to uncover what they have in common. In the laboratory, he's also investigated the relationship between nutrition and the key genes and pathways that accelerate aging. His mission? To reveal how dietary interventions can minimize disease, repair our bodies, and keep us young for decades longer. I'm in the business of making people live to 110 and helping them to get there in good health, says Longo. In one of his studies, Longo and his collaborators examined the effects of protein consumption on the mortality of 6,381 people over the age of 50. During an 18-year follow-up period, he found that people aged 50 to 65 who ate high levels of protein were more than four times as likely to die of cancer than people who ate low levels of protein. The group that ate high levels of protein also had a 74% increase in their risk of dying from any cause. But what really mattered was whether the protein they ate came from plants, for example, beans, peas, nuts, seeds, and whole grains, or animals, for example, meat, eggs, milk, and cheese. The study found that for people aged 50 to 65, plant-based proteins were healthy, whereas high levels of animal proteins promote mortality. Dr. Longo's research has led him to develop what he describes as a longevity lifestyle and diet. It consists almost entirely of plant-based foods, making it broadly similar to Ornish's style of eating. But Longo also recommends eating fish a maximum of two or three times a week, being careful to avoid types that contain notoriously high levels of mercury, including tuna and swordfish. Dr. Longo favors those fish that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, such as salmon and Atlantic mackerel. What about meats like beef, lamb, and chicken? He avoids them. Should you follow his lead? You don't have to. Remember, these are your choices. But don't buy into the myth that you have to eat meat because it would be hard to get enough protein from a plant-based diet. The reality is, many of the healthiest and most energetic people on Earth stick largely, or even exclusively, to a diet that's dominated by plants. Take my friend Tom Brady, the best quarterback who ever lived. He primarily fuels himself with fruits and vegetables. For snacks, he likes nuts and seeds. And he eats modest servings of lean protein from fish or chicken. Tom sums up his dietary principle in two words: mostly plants. Dr. Longo adds that there are striking similarities in the diets of the many centenarians he's met. They don't eat high quantities of saturated fats from meat or cheese. They don't eat heaps of sugar either. Instead, they tend to consume lots of complex carbs like beans and vegetables, along with plenty of healthy fats from nutritious sources like olive oil and nuts. Another trait they have in common is that they're not that self-indulgent. Maybe once or twice a week they had some meat, says Dr. Longo. They couldn't overeat, usually because they didn't have the money to overeat. I hope by now that you're seeing some clear patterns that will provide you with a few of the most fundamental guidelines. Remember, it doesn't need to be complicated. When the celebrated food writer Michael Pollan set out to answer the question of how humans should eat to be maximally healthy, he managed to sum it up in seven words: eat food, not too much, mostly plants. The rejuvenating power of fasting. Fasting is the greatest remedy, the physician within. Paracelsus, 16th century physician. As Dr. Longo sees it, eating a nutritious, plant-rich diet is only half the story. The other half of his strategy for preventing disease and staying young for longer may sound more radical, but it's extraordinarily effective. It involves harnessing the healing and protective powers of letting the body rest from the constant consumption, breakdown, and digestion of food. In other words, practicing what's known as intermittent fasting. When Dr. Longo recommends that people adopt the habit of fasting, they often respond about as enthusiastically as if he'd suggested sleeping on a bed of nails. They see it as a crazy idea, he says. Lots of people are still in the camp of eat all the time, and if they go one or two meals without eating, they think they're going to die. In most parts of the world, it's now standard to eat throughout the day, typically consuming at least three big meals plus snacks. In the U.S., says Longo, people tend to eat over a period of about 15 hours without ever taking a sustained break. But when you think about human evolution, you realize that we were never built to live like this. For example, having instant access to meat in this superabundant, continuous way. Dr. Longo, who started his career by studying organisms like yeast and bacteria, remarks, "Most organisms on Earth are starving all the time. Then, when they're lucky, once in a while they get some food, and then they go back to starving. So obviously, we're the first species that got away completely from that." Back in the 1980s, Longo observed in laboratory experiments that when you starve yeast and bacteria, they live longer. That revelation launched him on the path of researching whether fasting might also enhance the lifespan of humans. Since then, he and many other scientists have conducted a number of studies in animals and humans, suggesting that fasting can be a powerful weapon against illnesses like obesity, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, asthma, arthritis, multiple sclerosis, cardiovascular disease, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's. Part of the challenge, says Dr. Longo, is to find practical ways of fasting that not only promote health and longevity, but are manageable so people can actually do it. One popular approach that he recommends is a strategy called time-restricted feeding. It simply works like this. He suggests that you eat an early dinner, ideally you finish your meal 3 hours before you sleep, and then eat nothing at all for at least the next 12 hours. It's easy because most people are asleep for 6 to 8 hours of the fast. There are many other variations of intermittent fasting. For example, fans of the 5-2 diet cut out around 75% of their calories on 2 non-consecutive days each week and eat normally the other 5 days. Another common approach, which many people find reasonably easy and sustainable after a week or two of adjustment, is to skip breakfast and fast for 16 hours every day. Peter Diamandis practices a more intense version of time-restricted eating. He fasts for 19 hours a day, typically eating in a 5-hour window between 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. "Fasting gives me control," he says, "and I have a tremendous amount of mental clarity and physical energy during my mornings because my blood is not rushing to my gut to digest a big breakfast or lunch." Dr. Ornish agrees that fasting for 12 hours or more each day is a great idea. Similarly, Dr. David Sinclair, the Harvard longevity expert we spotlighted in Chapter 4, routinely skips breakfast and lunch and waits until dinner for his only meal of the day. As you'd imagine, many people are attracted to intermittent fasting as a way to lose weight. But longevity experts are also fascinated by the ways in which fasting can be used to slow aging and treat or prevent diseases. For example, Dr. Longo's research suggests that a combination of prolonged fasting and chemotherapy can be highly effective in fighting various cancers, since cancer cells, which rely on glucose as a source of energy, become more vulnerable when weakened by starvation. It's not easy to convince people who are battling cancer to take part in studies that require them to consume nothing but water for days on end. So, with funding from the National Cancer Institute, Dr. Longo developed a 5-day fasting-mimicking diet that's less grueling than a water-only fast. On the first day, it consists of 1,100 calories. For the next 4 days, that drops to 800 calories a day, largely in the form of vegetable soups. As purists will tell you, this isn't truly a fast, but it's designed to have the same benefits without as much hardship. So far, says Longo, more than 200,000 people have tried his fasting-mimicking diet, which is marketed by a company called L-Nutra, as a rapid way to lose fat and enhance cellular renewal. Why put yourself through all this misery? Having fasted on a regular basis throughout my life, I can tell you that it's really not that difficult, especially after the first day or two, and you quickly begin to realize that so much of your desire to eat is tied to your habits and driven by your mental and emotional patterns. Freeing yourself from those patterns can be incredibly liberating, and when your body isn't constantly engaged in processing foods, it has a chance to revitalize itself so you can rediscover the natural energy that's already available inside you. Dr. Longo explains that prolonged fasts like his 5-day fasting mimicking diet can have a profoundly restorative effect on your health. How come? To put it simply, your energy reserves are depleted after 2 or 3 days of fasting, and your body undergoes a metabolic shift from a sugar-burning mode to a ketogenic state in which you use fatty acids and ketones for fuel. Faced with the stress of fasting, cells shrink, adds Longo, and enter a protected state. When you eat normally again, they have an opportunity to rebuild. Dr. Longo explains that this cycle of starvation and refeeding triggers a regenerative and self-healing process that can reduce the biological age of your cells and organs. How cool is that? In a clinical trial involving 100 people, Longo's team tested the effects of doing his fasting mimicking diet for 5 days a month over 3 months. Participants with risk factors for diabetes, cancer, and cardiovascular disease displayed an array of impressive results. For example, their body mass index improved, their glucose levels were lowered, their blood pressure decreased, their cholesterol and triglyceride levels fell, and their levels of insulin-like growth factor 1, which is associated with aging, cancer, and diabetes, dropped. In most cases, says Dr. Longo, participants who started out being pre-diabetic came back to normal. It's worth noting that Dr. Longo does the fasting mimicking diet twice a year in the belief that prolonged fasts are beneficial even for people in good health. If you take full advantage of the insights we've discussed so far, the impact can be truly transformative. These 3 simple moves, eating healthily, exercising regularly, and fasting intermittently, work wonders. Best of all, they work beautifully together. But there isn't one right way to do it, so you want to find a balance that feels practical and sustainable for you, based on your lifestyle and preferences. Remember, these are time-tested guidelines, not rules. The power of water and oxygen. Everyone knows that water is good for the body. They seem not to know how essential it is to one's well-being. They do not know what happens to the body if it does not receive its daily need of water. F. Botman-Gelidge, M.D., author of Your Body's Many Cries for Water. There are 2 other key ingredients that I want to mention briefly because they're so fundamental to your health. The first is the most essential nutrient of all, water. You can't think of your diet solely in terms of food because none of us can live without water. It plays a crucial role in many functions of the body, whether it's transporting proteins and carbohydrates through your bloodstream, lubricating your joints, flushing out waste through your urine, regulating your body temperature when you sweat, or serving as a shock absorber for your brain. For adult women, about 50% of the body is made of water. For adult men, it's about 60%. So it's not surprising if your body starts to malfunction and your energy levels crash when you're dehydrated. Scientists have shown that even mild dehydration can cause a significant impairment of concentration, memory, alertness, and physical endurance. In fact, when your mind is foggy or you're exhausted, it's often because you're dehydrated. That's why I constantly remind people at my events to keep sipping water so they function at their best. Ironically, many people suppress their need for water by drinking sodas and coffee, which actually dehydrate them. In truth, water is the only liquid nutrient you need. How much should you drink? A simple guideline is to divide your weight in pounds by 2 and drink that amount of water in ounces each day. If you weigh 180 pounds, you drink 90 ounces of water per day, a little less than 3 liters. A review article on the importance of hydration for health recommends that healthy adults in a temperate climate performing at most mild to moderate physical activity should drink 2.5 to 3.5 liters of water a day. Here's what I do. I weigh 282 pounds. Half of my body weight in ounces is 141. So every morning I fill 8 glass bottles that are 18 ounces each for my full quota of water for the day, and I number them so that I can make sure I'm on track. I often add some fresh lemon as an easy and tasty way to improve digestion and manage appetite and protect the body from cell damage caused by oxidation. I also add a pinch of Celtic sea salt to one of those bottles, which helps the body to absorb and retain water, optimizing hydration. Simple, right? Yet this one seemingly small decision to drink enough water can have a huge impact on your health. There's one other basic lifestyle choice that I want to share with you here because it's produced such profoundly positive changes in my own life. The power of breath. You can't live without oxygen just as you can't live without water. What's more, your breathing affects the quality of your life. So you can't think about health without thinking about breath. As yogis have taught for thousands of years, the way that we breathe produces different emotional and physical states. I'm sure you've experienced times when your breathing was constricted. For example, do you ever notice when you're feeling stressed, you breathe really shallow or not at all? In more extreme cases, when people are having a panic attack, they can't catch their breath, and they go into a specific breathing pattern that makes them hyperventilate. We can even become addicted to our anxiety because the body releases dopamine to cope with these challenges. The way we breathe can also create painful problems inside the gut. Fortunately, you and I can improve our breathing by becoming more conscious of it. Many years ago, I began experimenting with different breathing patterns, including a number that I learned from a book that I'd highly recommend. Breath Walk by Guru Charan Singh Khalsa, Ph.D., and Yogi Bhajan, Ph.D. They explain how to rhythmically synchronize your breath and your steps while walking so you can change your mood and energy. For example, one breathing pattern entails inhaling for 4 seconds, holding your breath for 4 seconds, exhaling for 4 seconds, and holding your breath for 4 seconds. A segmented 4-4 pattern that you can continue for several minutes while you walk in order to boost your energy and mental clarity. In fact, a very similar pattern of breath is also taught to Navy SEALs to calm their minds and emotions and increase their focus. Often they're taught to inhale for 4 breaths through the nose and exhale a count of 4 breaths through the mouth in order to calm their nervous system in stressful situations. Another pattern entails inhaling for 8 seconds and exhaling for 8 seconds as you walk, repeating this for several minutes, an 8-8 pattern that can reduce stress and foster calmness. Decades ago, a doctor who was a lymph specialist taught me another basic breathing pattern that uses a ratio of 1-4-2. I utilize this strategy to train the body to fully oxygenate by holding the breath longer and exhaling twice as long as you inhale, in order to eliminate toxins and stimulate the lymph system. I found it an invaluable tool to enhance my energy, my state of mind, and my sense of well-being. In my case, I inhale for 8 seconds, hold my breath for 32 seconds, and exhale for 16 seconds. You could do a 7-28-14 or whatever is a natural capacity for you at this stage. I use this breathing technique at least once and often 3 times a day. I start by doing it once in the morning shortly after waking up. I repeat it once again if I'm feeling stressed in the afternoon, and I often do it one final time to relax before bedtime. In my experience, it's a wonderful way to oxygenate the body, get the carbon dioxide and toxins out of your system, reduce stress, and break your mental pattern when you need a reset. I also use a more explosive breath when I'm tired and need to snap myself into a peak state right before getting on stage. I drink my water, do my breathing, and I'm ready to rock and roll. As you'll quickly discover for yourself, these breathing patterns offer a powerful and instantly accessible way to upgrade your mood, your vitality, and your health. These ancient techniques are a reminder of a simple truth that any of us can choose to harness right now. Oxygen is life. The power of your microbiome and diet. There is no such thing as an average person. We are all genetically and biologically unique. Dr. Jeffrey Bland, father of functional medicine and author of Biochemical Individuality. So far, we've discussed a number of basic lifestyle choices that, broadly speaking, will benefit anyone. Intellectually, most of us already know that these rules of the road make sense. If you lounge around on the sofa every day and rarely move, you know that your body will eventually stop functioning like a well-oiled machine. If you regularly opt for deep-fried chicken and hot fudge sundaes over vegetables and fruit, you know that you're raising your odds of an unhappy life and perhaps an unhappy ending. If you constantly swig sugary sodas and sweetened juices instead of water, you know that you're more vulnerable to threats like obesity and diabetes. General guidelines like these are pretty obvious, even if we don't always abide by them. Besides the blood chemistries and body imaging we discussed in Chapter 3, Diagnostic Power, there is another critical check of your biology that is important to make, and that is a measurement of your microbiome and genes, DNA. As the old saying goes, what gets measured gets managed. It's important to note, though, that this technology is still evolving and is not absolutely accurate yet. One company at the vanguard of this revolution is Viome, which studies the effects of different foods on the gut. Did you know that there are roughly 40 trillion organisms living in your digestive tract? This hidden ecosystem of bacteria, viruses, and other microbes plays a vital role in maintaining your health. Scientists have shown that these squatters inside your gut have a complex influence on your metabolism, digestive efficiency, brain function, immune system, susceptibility to disease, and even your mood. When your microbiome, the technical term for this community of microbes, is out of balance, your body can't absorb nutrients properly, which may cause inflammation, an underlying cause of many chronic diseases. After collecting a stool sample from its customers, Viome, which Peter and I invested in through his venture firm Bold Capital Partners, uses its genetic sequencing technology to identify trillions of microbes in the gut and analyze their activities, including their biochemical interactions with the foods you eat. Another great company that does biome analysis is called GI Map. There wasn't even a supercomputer that was built 10 years ago that could have analyzed this massive set of data, says Viome's CEO, Naveen Jain. Using advanced artificial intelligence, Viome crunches that data to offer individualized advice on which foods and supplements may positively or negatively affect your microbiome. Viome's website lists common foods that would be best for all of us to avoid, including sugar, processed meat, processed cheese, white flour, French fries, and corn syrup. But the personalized recommendations the company provides are much more nuanced. For example, a friend of mine was recently told to avoid tomatoes and cucumbers because of two specific viruses that Viome detected in his microbiome. What excites me most are the cases where people with debilitating or deadly diseases can see life-changing improvements simply by modifying what they eat. This is one way to treat imbalances in the gut microbiome, such as obesity, diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome, and Crohn's disease. A good example of how changing diet can radically change your health involves Viome's founder and chief science officer, Momchilo Momo Vojcic. He developed the company's foundational technology while leading the applied genomics team at the Los Alamos National Laboratory, which famously developed atomic weapons during World War II. Vojcic was on a personal mission to understand the root cause of chronic diseases because he suffered from one himself, rheumatoid arthritis. In his 30s, he got so sick that his doctors recommended a drug that would cost $30,000 a year, but warned that he'd still wind up in a wheelchair. His response? I found that unacceptable. Thankfully, Vojcic stumbled on a simple nutritional intervention that would transform his life. After studying research by Ajit Varki, a distinguished professor at UC San Diego, Vojcic realized that his immune system was triggering a disastrous inflammatory response to one particular sugar that he consumed regularly in meat and dairy. So, in 2015, he quit eating any products from mammals. The result? My symptoms went away. My joints were cured, and I literally have no residual disease left. Vojcic is the perfect example of how we can benefit from understanding the precise workings of our own unique physiology. The power of aligning your diet with your DNA. Another useful tool to determine how your body utilizes carbohydrates and fats is a genetic test like the one my wife and I used from DNA Fit. In a 2-year study comparing the effects of a genetically matched diet versus a ketogenic diet, they found weight loss after the first 12 weeks was nearly identical. But after 2 years, the participants in the ketogenic group began to gain their weight back as they struggled to stay consistent. Those who ate according to their genotype not only lost significantly more weight, but also reduced total cholesterol, increased the beneficial HDL cholesterol, and improved fasting blood glucose levels. It appears that humans from different ancestral backgrounds utilize carbohydrates and fats differently. Why is this? International travel is a new occurrence. It's been only over the last century that humans began to travel in masses. Prior to this, cultures married within the same population, so the gene pool was similar. Consider the Inuit, who reside in the harsh Arctic climate. For centuries, they consumed a diet mainly of fat and protein from fatty cold water fish, seals, and caribou, with very little in the way of plants, no agricultural or dairy products, and was unusually low in carbohydrates. Compare this to the traditional Caribbean Islander diet, which is the polar opposite of the Inuit, high in plant-based carbohydrates derived from fruits and roots, and very low-fat seafood. Now, what happens when these two groups have children? What about when their children have children? There's only one way to find out for sure: genetically test to see what traits they inherited. This type of testing offers important data that can help eliminate the trial and error of what your body's genetically preferred fuel source is: carbohydrates, fats, or a combination of the two. My wife, for example, burns carbs incredibly rapidly. As a result, she can eat without gaining a lot of weight, but she also can get hypoglycemic if she doesn't eat throughout the day. Carbs burn very quickly, like lighter fluid, whereas I burn fat as a primary source of energy, which burns more slowly, like burning coals on a barbecue, so I can go sometimes 11 to 14 hours without seeing much of a drop in my energy. Although microbiome and genetic testing are early in their infancy, they may be able to provide some helpful information to make better choices and offer clues to the best approach for you. Companies like Viome, Whoop, and Aura are leading us into a data-driven future that makes these individualized interventions possible. Increasingly, you and I will be able to optimize the way we eat, fast, exercise, rest, and sleep, because we'll know with more clarity than ever before what impact to expect when we fine-tune our behavior. We'll still need to understand the general rules of the game, but this is the dawn of a new golden age of precision and personalization. The healing power of heat and cold. Last, I'd like to share my top two biohacks that have had a profound impact on my well-being, and science is now showing that they can stimulate your immune system, lower your blood pressure, soothe inflammation, increase cardiovascular strength, and reduce your chance of having a stroke or heart attack, all in 20 minutes. Saunas are nothing new. Bathing oneself in heat for the purposes of purification, cleansing, and healing is an ancient practice dating back thousands of years and observed across many cultures. But now, for the first time in history, scientists can actually prove what many cultures around the world have long suspected. Regular sauna use can have a profound and powerful impact on your health, your well-being, and your health span. Dr. Rhonda Patrick, Ph.D., one of our Life Force Advisory Board members, a published scientist and health educator, and founder of the website Found My Fitness, has been studying the benefits of exposing the body to hormetic stressors, such as through sauna use or heat stress, as well as various forms of cold exposure, for years. She shares that, appropriately, much of this groundbreaking research has been conducted in Finland, where a population of 5.5 million uses an estimated 3 million-plus saunas. How dramatic are the benefits? Well, one study involving 2,315 middle-aged Finnish men found that those who used a sauna 4 to 7 times a week were 50% less likely to die from cardiovascular disease than men who used a sauna only once a week. That's right. By regularly sitting in a sauna for around 20 minutes at a time, these men halved their risk of cardiovascular disease, a scourge that causes nearly 1 of 3 deaths globally. In case that's not enough to grab your attention, consider this. These frequent sauna users were also 40% less likely to die from all causes of premature death. But there's more, much more. Researchers have also found that frequent sauna use radically reduces the risk of cognitive disorders such as dementia and Alzheimer's disease. regular sauna bathing, as it's often called, has also been shown to alleviate everything from arthritis to skin diseases to depression. In another Finnish study, men and women who used a sauna 4 to 7 times per week also lowered their risk of stroke by an astounding 61% compared to those who visited a sauna just once a week. What's the theory behind this magic? Dr. Patrick explains that saunas generate heat stress responses within the body, including the activation of heat shock proteins. This protein family is produced by our cells in response to stressful conditions, such as excessive heat, and are important to many cellular processes, including regulation of the cell cycle, cellular signaling, and functioning of the immune system. Multiple studies have shown that heat shock proteins increase in response to heat exposure in people as they do in animals. Studies show that to get the results described above, all you need to do is 4 to 7 days per week for 20 minutes at 73 degrees Celsius, 163 degrees Fahrenheit. A 2012 study showed that people who stayed 30 minutes in a heat chamber at 73 degrees Celsius, 163 Fahrenheit, saw a 49% increase in heat shock protein levels as well. Dr. Patrick explains that short-term exposure to extreme heat can deliver a wide range of benefits to your body's natural healing mechanisms. She pointed out in a recent study in experimental gerontology, saunas have been shown to stimulate the immune system, lower blood pressure, reduce inflammation, and improve cardiovascular function. Sitting in a sauna can also boost your heart rate in much the same way as medium-intensity exercise, but with far less effort. Plus, there's the emotional bonus of taking time to relax, rejuvenating in peace on your own or in the company of friends and family. The good news is that you don't have to be extreme to experience the life-enhancing power of intense heat. In fact, Finnish researchers found that men who used a sauna just 2 to 3 times a week reduced their risk of dying from cardiovascular disease by 27%. Statistics like these are so compelling that more and more people around the globe are visiting the gym exclusively for saunas 4 times a week, or are fitting their homes with a sauna. Some opt for traditional steam saunas, while others favor infrared saunas, which use light to create heat that warms the body from within. The best infrared saunas heat the organs as well as the skin. I already owned a traditional steam sauna, which I enjoyed but rarely used, but after getting up to speed on these benefits, I decided I wouldn't let a week go without going at least 4 times for 20 minutes at 163 degrees. To make it even easier, I decided to get an infrared sauna. I have no investment in the company, but my favorite is HealthMate Sauna, healthmatesauna.com. That said, one advantage of traditional Finnish saunas versus infrared saunas is that they tend to be hotter, which may explain their healing power. One brand worth checking out is Almost Heaven Saunas, almostheaven.com, which specializes in making steam saunas in the Finnish tradition. Before you go any further, you should definitely consult a physician, since saunas aren't recommended for everyone. But if you're given the green light, one excellent option is to sit in a sauna about 4 times a week, aiming for at least 20 minutes per session at 163 degrees. Your heart and brain will soon come to relish this regular infusion of healing heat. I'll tell you, in the beginning, it feels difficult. You can start with 10 to 12 minutes and build to 20, but once you do, it's extraordinary. My habit is to do it 4 to 7 times a week just before I go to sleep late at night. The heat cleanses and relaxes my whole body, and I find that my sleep is much deeper. Plus, I get all the benefits you've already heard about. And even more so when I add my second biohack, daily cold plunge or cryotherapy session. The power of cold, daily cold plunge and cryotherapy. If you've ever played competitive sports, you've probably used ice to relieve the pain in your inflamed and achy joints. Back in my youthful days of playing baseball, I was constantly strapping ice packs onto my pitcher's arm. And after a bruising game of football, I'd frequently immerse my entire body in an ice bath on and off for 20 minutes or more of Arctic-style misery. Shivering like crazy, you couldn't help but ask yourself, isn't there a better way? Well, nowadays there is. It's called whole-body cryotherapy. In my experience, it's been a total godsend. When I've just spent 13 hours tearing up the stage, running up and down the stairs of a stadium to keep tens of thousands of people involved, it takes quite a toll on my body. The inflammation can be extreme. For me, nothing provides quicker, more efficient, and more dramatic relief than stepping into a cryotherapy chamber. After just 2.5 minutes in there, I find that almost all of my pain and inflammation is gone. Dr. Patrick is also a fan of the cold and reveals the benefits include improved metabolic health, improved mood and cognition, increased mitochondrial biogenesis and skeletal tissue, altered gut and microbiome activity, activation of antioxidant enzymes, and decreased inflammation. How does it work? Basically, you stand inside a cryotherapy chamber that's filled with mind-blowingly cold gas, exposing yourself to temperatures as low as minus 240 degrees Fahrenheit, while wearing little more than your underwear and some protective coverings for your feet, hands, and ears. It may sound brutal, but this short, sharp shock to the system can stimulate an amazingly rapid recovery. Initially, I would go to centers all over the world in almost any major city where you can pop in for 5 or 10 minutes and be done, feeling incredibly rejuvenated. Because I used it so much, I actually purchased one for my own recovery at events and in my home. As you might expect, many of the most ardent fans of this technology are professional athletes who routinely use cryotherapy to treat strains, sprains, and fractures, accelerating their recovery from injuries and overuse. But interest in cryotherapy has also spread far beyond the athletic community. There are high-end spas, gyms, and wellness centers that now offer whole-body cryotherapy. There's increasing interest, and if you don't have access to whole-body cryotherapy, you can submerge in an ice bath as well to activate the power of cold stress. In addition to my cryotherapy unit, I've built cold plunges in my home that I keep at 50 degrees. If you do this for 2 minutes, you can feel a transformation as well. There are many companies that make self-contained units that stay cold. Dr. Rhonda personally uses The Plunge, thecoldplunge.com. Are you convinced? Try testing out the power of heat or cold for 30 days and see what you think. The science shows that you'll be glad that you did. For more information on the power of heat and cold, visit foundmyfitness.com. So now, let me ask you a question. What lifestyle choices are you going to make right now to maximize your health, energy, and vitality? Based on what you've learned in this chapter, why not commit to 2 or 3 simple changes that will propel your life to the next level? Are you going to cut your meat consumption down a bit, perhaps to 1, 2, or 3 times a week, or possibly even eliminate it entirely from your diet, or at least ensure that it's from a clean source? Are you going to commit to exercising for 150 minutes per week, just 20 to 30 minutes a day, 5 or 6 days a week, so you can experience the energy you'll have for your family, your friends, your work, your mission, and your own enjoyment of life? Your Longevity Health, Fitness, and Longevity Weekly Checklist. 1. Hydrate. Drink half your body weight in ounces of water per day. Add some fresh lemon and a pinch of Celtic sea salt to optimize your hydration and electrolyte balance. 2. Eat foods closest to their natural source. Avoid processed carbs and low-quality processed meats. 3. Decrease disease risk. Consume at least 1 serving of cruciferous vegetables per day, including broccoli sprouts, cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, or kale. 4. Commit to a structured eating window. Consume meals in an 8 to 12 hour window and fast for 12 to 16 hour windows each day. 5. Stay consistent with sleep. Go to sleep and wake up at about the same times each day. 6. Get strong. Perform 3 resistance training sessions per week. 7. Strengthen your heart, lungs, and build endurance with 3 cardiovascular exercise sessions of 20 to 30 minutes each session. 8. Consider the power of using heat and cold to use positive stressors to lower your blood pressure, reduce inflammation, reduce your risk of Alzheimer's, and cut your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50%. 9. Train your brain with daily breath work and meditation 5 to 20 minutes per day. Are you going to explore the restorative power of intermittent fasting by restricting your eating to 8 hours a day and fasting for the other 16? Eating 3 hours before you go to sleep, adding to your 6 to 8 hours of sleep so that your digestive system gets a rest. Or perhaps try Dr. Longo's full immersion 5-day fasting mimicking diet. By the way, if you'd like to experience a 5-day program of transformation, you can always attend our Life Mastery event in person or in digital form. It includes the transformation of your mind, emotions, and your body, and you can make these physical changes together with others. Visit TonyRobbins.com for more information. Are you going to commit to drinking half your body weight in ounces each day so that you're still fully hydrated and experience the energy and mental clarity that comes with it? Are you going to breathe in a specific pattern 3 times a day, a ratio of 1-4-2 or 4-4-4, to revitalize your mind, body, and soul? If so, it would be great to set an alarm on your phone so you follow through and it becomes a habit. Will you consider using the power of heat and cold, using a sauna 4 times per week or more, to cut your chance of heart disease in half, or cryotherapy or cold plunge to reduce inflammation? Whatever you choose, write it down now. Make a commitment to stick with these simple yet powerful lifestyle changes for the long term, and then feel the momentum. These little shifts in behavior may not seem like much, but as the science shows, the impact on your energy, your health, and your longevity is extraordinary. And now, let's turn to another core component of a healthy lifestyle, one that most of us neglect in ways that are incredibly damaging. To be honest, it's a subject that I've never focused on until recently. Sleep. As you're about to learn from the world's most renowned expert, sleep affects your health, your vitality, your immune system, and even your sexuality. What you're about to hear will shock you, but it will also show you one of the simplest ways to transform your energy, your vitality, and the quality of your life. Let's wake up to the power of sleep.